Thank you for your practice, for your presence here, and for your willingness to do this with your life. And yeah, it's nice to have a feeling of maybe physically looking around or just feeling around that, yeah, I'm surrounded by beings who are willing to do this. It's an honor to be in this kind of company and a pleasure to recognize that and acknowledge that. Beings that care. All beings care, of course, just in different ways, about different things. So we put aside some time for questions and responses to those kind of questions. It can also be reflections. If it feels helpful to anyone to offer that into the space, I'll just say a little bit about how that can work and then maybe just gather a sense of how much interest there is in that, and then maybe I will adjust what I'm going to say as a preamble to it. In the physical hall at Gaia House, we have a remote microphone, which we would request that you would speak into. Then that means that people who are on the sound loop and also people online will be able to immediately hear what you're saying. A sound loop is like a hearing aid device. So that'd be really helpful if you're happy to speak into a microphone. I know that can be a slight deterrent, but it's not as bad as it seems. If you're online, you could use the raise hand function. It's in the reactions, usually in the lower bar of the application. And that will give us a sense that you're interested in asking a question, and then we'll invite you to unmute and we'll adjust the sound system here so that we can all hear you, everyone can hear you. You can also use the chat function if you want to ask a question through the chat, and Aubrey will speak that one, those ones out and give a response to that. So broadly speaking, if you have a question about practice, about things we've explored today, about applying the Dharma to your life, anything around those kinds of themes and more things that you can think would be relevant, or a reflection or something like that that you'd like to bring into the space. So those are all welcome. Could I just have a general sense, who feels they might have a question, a reflection or something to share at this point? Yes, pure content, satisfaction, as I anticipated. Lovely. Online, much sense? Okay, great. Well, inquisitive lot. No, that's really good. Maybe it means you got what you wanted, or it means missed the mark so much there's just no way we could possibly meet that. So I'll say a few things, see if that riles you up. That I hope can be kind of helpful, kind of closing comments from me around the theme of the day. And yeah, at any time you can, what's the polite thing to interrupt? You can, or whatever, interrupt and say, I'd like actually to ask something about that, or I have something about that, and we can play it back and forth. Okay, same fun. Does that sound all right? Great. Okay, super. So, wide and deep was the title for the thing. And so what we could say is any experience could be deeper than it currently is. Yeah? It will depend on how you pay attention and what you pay attention to there. Any experience could be held more widely. Yeah? Before we went on into lunch, we talked a little bit about those different sensibilities of widening out, why we practice when we come into a practice session. Who am I practicing for? Me, the number one being of the universe, or all beings? And when you take an idea like all beings, like, did I just think of like all beings in my town, or all human beings, or all things? So these things will find their boundaries, and they can always be a little bit wider. There's a lovely sentiment at the moment, actually, we could say with all beings, we also want to think about future beings to come. Yeah, so you can keep on going in these kinds of ways. Beings in different dimensions. So anytime you can think of something, we can widen that sensibility and we can notice what it's like to widen. primarily, the qualities that we might call widening are to do with ethics, or in the Pali called sila, yeah? Or they're to do with something like heart qualities or relational qualities. Yeah, they can keep getting wider. So metta is actually sitting in a family of qualities. That's the quality of kindness, sometimes called loving kindness, that we practiced in the afternoon. Sits within this family of practices called the Brahma Viharas. And that literally means the abodes of the gods. Yeah. So to call it a heart quality is a little bit kind of diminishing. But here we actually mean that the heart's capacity to, as that wise being Jesus was saying, you know, to kind of find heaven on earth through loving connection, loving relations, you know, wise, sensitive, beautiful ways of relating to other beings. Yeah, and they can keep going wider and wider and wider. But as we said before, you know, behind the cupboards or the avenues that we're talking about, they actually interlink with deeper sensibilities, how we feel, deep depth of our thing. Yeah. The deep qualities are also related to samadhi. Now, samadhi is a word that means kind of gathering in harmonization, yeah, of this energetic felt sense of what it means to be a human being with a body, with a heart, with a mind. Yeah, that sensibility that you have that tells you, I don't like it here, or I really like it here. Yeah, that feeling you have is the kind of dimension that we're talking about of what's called samadhi, gathering, harmonizing. And that goes very, very deep. Yeah, it brings us deeper into ourselves. It's like we're sitting lower in our being, feeling well grounded, but also feeling uplifted. Yeah. And that, like the width, is also endless, endless exploration of just how deeply rooted, how enlivened and brightened and enjoying and all of those kinds of qualities come through. And why I say they're interlinked, because you'll notice the more deeply rooted, uplifted, feeling good, it tends you towards living more ethically, with more care, with more generosity, with more connection. Because what are you going to do with all that happiness? One of my key teachers was a man called Baba Amte, founded an enormous leprosy community in India. And he was really into making slogans, really fun sayings. It's a real talent in India, actually, for using English to make wonderful little sayings. And he said, happiness dies if it's not shared. Happiness dies if it's not shared. Really true, isn't it? It's like, you can be happy on your own. You want more happiness? Share it. Enjoy it. You want to become happy? Be appreciative of someone else's happiness. Yeah, it's a really kind of key way to get into that groove, into that experience. And then that reflects back, and our happiness deepens. And then there's another one to share it with, and keeps going in this kind of cycle. Okay, so that's quality of deepening, but deepenings widen, widenings deepen, and they work together in this way. The other area that we could say is really important to practice with deepening is actually deepening our understanding of how experience is made, yeah? How we can contribute towards experience. And, you know, if anyone has a question about this, I would be interested because I want to understand it better myself. Is it possible to say that our life is made of anything but attention? Is it possible to say our life is made of something other than attention? Yeah, an experience in your life is made of experiences which are perceived by what you pay attention to and how you pay attention to it. Yeah? Does your past exist if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't remember it? Does it exist or not exist in you? Yeah, you could say, well, my body is achy because I ran around or whatever. But that's an association, that's an experience, dependent on your memory of a why, all of those things. Yeah? So what you pay attention to and how you pay attention to it makes your existence. In a more kind of complex way of saying it, the Buddha would teach dependent origination, right? How this being like this depends on other things. You could say it depends on things in the past, depends on our feeling about things in the future, how we're motivated, our intentions, goals, all of those kind of things, yeah? But it comes through fundamentally, moment to moment, in what we pay attention to and how we pay attention to that. And that's what shapes our experience, okay? And it's not just, oh, cool. It's why? Because that brings freedom when we are skillful, wholesome, ethical, beautiful, divine, you know, abodes of the gods kind of attitude, when we deepen it into gathering, harmonizing, softening, enriching, uplifting, whatever it is. Yeah? It's all based around what we pay attention to, how we pay attention to it, how we conceive of who we are, what we are, why we are. Yeah? And all of that because they're teachings of freedom. Now, freedom primarily in the reduction of dukkha. So if we understand what something depends on to come into being, we also get an understanding of what it depends on to fade away out of being. Yeah. All the intentions that people have shared here, spoken, unspoken, I really trust in the fact that they are degrees or aspects or faces, facets of freedom. Yeah. And then with those intentions, we can just play with how wide we aspire. Yeah. Who for? Everyone, everyone, everything, every molecule, every subatomic particle, whatever. You know. And all of that brings meaningfulness, brings purpose to our existence. Yeah. So I like to see the potential of our meditation practice actually having no boundary. Yeah, no boundary of who I practice for, and actually also no boundary of where I practice. So I really love to see meditation in action, in service, in beautiful acts, all of those kind of things, because it's so enriching of that pay attention in creative ways for the good of everybody, yeah, until everybody's free, or everybody's has a more improved situation. There's more sustainability in that way of practicing, and hopefully it brings a more sustainable world. More interconnected, so I feel more interconnected, and all the beings I feel are interconnected are on the path with me. The path is widening, the sensibility of practice is deepening. We can always do something to become a little bit more free. Yeah. And if we keep going with that, keep going with that, could you soften your shoulders a little bit more? Could you let out the belly a little bit more? Could you say this, whatever you're going to say, in a slightly kinder, more sensitive way? Just a little more. It's like, yeah, okay. So if you can do it a little more, you could probably do it a little more than that, because that could have been what you had there. I mean, just a little more, little more, little more, gradually, gradually. And the Buddha said, drop by drop, the water pot is filled. Yeah, big jug there, it's just one drop. Every year, maybe, yeah, one drop. Still, it's going to fill up, isn't it? Over time, gradually. And we can really go into that more and more. And as we do that, beautiful thing happens. It's lovely in that moment. Supports that gathering, supports that harmonization, supports that well-being, and we feel safe, we open. Yeah, we feel well nourished, find contentment. And then drop by drop, a little bit more, a little bit more. And, you know, you could say, oh, it's a really long journey towards freedom. Well, so what? It's a really nice journey towards freedom, actually, isn't it? Like feeling just a little bit more free, a little bit more well in ourselves, a little bit more deeper. And as we go, you know, we'll discover a little bit more things, like eyes adjusting to the light. Oh, I didn't realize there was a little bit over there that I could help resolve, release, work through. Yeah. A whole other way of conceiving of this is it's just about shaping our relationships. Relationship to things, inner, outer, yeah, towards ethics, towards well-being, towards kindness. And it all just interlinks. I personally don't mind, and don't mind for myself, which one am I working on? Working on all of them, eventually. But at the moment, I feel more impassioned towards one. Go with that. Change your relationship to body, to energy, to conceptions of those kinds. You know, change your relationship to what's possible for you as an ethical human being. Yeah. It's all going to interplay. It's all going to work together. Width and depth, they come together. Yeah. I know we're kind of playing with time a little bit here, but just as part of the closing out session, I think it's really important to actually look for those opportunities to practice with others, whether that's online or in person, you know, coming to an event like this again. Really important. Also, really important, the thing that I said earlier on is you can't practice on your own. Yeah, these fellow beings are going to keep practicing in some form or other, and you can keep practicing with them in your heart and mind. But it can be helpful to be in connection in places where we are actually kind of more literally practicing together, and Guy House offers a lot of those opportunities. If you're interested in what I kind of lightly mentioned, this idea of meditation in action, we have an organization called Sangha Seva. We're actually going to go off to Calais at the end of May to help work with organizations that work with refugees, which, you know, the situation of having refugees on planet Earth is, obviously we've taken a poor turn somewhere to end up in that situation. And unfortunately, they're actually meeting with some of the worst kind of treatment that you could imagine the people who've suffered too much would be experiencing. And so we want to bring our practice there, where we can support ourselves to be more open, to be more sensitive, to be more compassionate. And I'm sure many of you have already been to places like that before and know the rich importance for us to be able to show that we care and to express that we care and act in those ways. So it's a challenge, but also a great reward of what we can do. So I hope that this is a day that feels like it's offered some support to a sense of more width, more depth to our practice. And yeah, it's going to support you to feel that you want to keep practicing and find new ways to practice, new ideas to bring into your practice that can be supportive for its ongoing benefit. And maybe just to save on time, I'll kind of make a sharp steer towards the Dana principle. So as I said, you know, us being here is because others have been here and practiced and offered this in. And that idea of paying it forwards, I think, is probably the most convenient and briefest way to kind of talk about this principle, Dana, of giving, of generosity. So you can't ever pay anyone back for something. Yeah, you probably realize that, yeah? It's like the economics is a simplification of things. You say, well, you gave me five, I'll give you five. It's like in life, it's much more alive and dynamic like that. And no one's asking you to pay anything back. But if you appreciate this, you can pay it forwards, imagining that maybe someone else will come after, and I'd like to make that opportunity available. So if that moves you, so to do. It's possible to give Dana to myself for so that I can offer something like this again to others. It's possible to give Dana to Gaia House so that it can open its doors and keep welcoming in more beings, including its financial assistance and bursary fund. It's also possible for those of us in the house to offer a contribution to the coordinators who do amazing work here and then disappear. We can't tell where they are, what they're doing, because they're so efficient and so dedicated. And it's a really beautiful thing that all of this is available and freely offered. And if we're in a position where we're able to contribute to those pots, so to speak, that would be a lovely thing to do. Yeah, I think that kind of covers the main things that I wanted to speak about. But there's always a lot more. I'm going to allow that to be the case. Because as we said, like, today was a day of stepping in, showing, yeah, there's a big avenue down there that you can go into, a big one over there that you can go into, and hopefully it feels enriching, and also it feels enough, and not enough in the right ways. So thank you again for being here, and for all of us being here together. For those online, we're going to allow you not to hear the next bit, which is the practical stuff that I need to say about kind of physically closing the Gaia House retreat. And you have a chance, if you'd like, to be with Andrew, who will kind of facilitate kind of a little conversation, checking in with each other. Those of us who are here in the house will have the opportunity to do that in certain locations around Gaia House, so that everyone gets a chance to say a little bit of hellos to each other, if that doesn't feel too overwhelming. So thank you for being here, online people, and wish you well. And actually, just to say to everyone, be in touch if it's helpful. Yeah, I'm always happy to hear from people, and you might come up with a question that you didn't realize you wanted to bring in. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.